here. Steve, appreciate the leading of the singing, the good prayer about Chris. And we're so grateful to get today that we can read God's precious word, just exactly like David did so well today. In that reading that we had this morning in the word of the Lord, and I'm clicking and I'm hoping that I'll get it on there in just a moment. But anyway, in the reading of the word of the Lord, we find that Peter now is asking a very simple question. Al started this series, and today I'm talking about living. Living the life now, and living the life which is to come. Tonight, Matt Taylor will be preaching on heaven. What a wonderful thought. Being able finally, when this life is all over, to go to heaven. What is really Peter saying now? Here in Mark chapter 10. Read it with me. Then Peter began to say to him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. What's he really saying? What do we get? If we've left everything and we follow you. And Jesus had an answer for that question. And the answer was, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. I want you to look at that. Peter, what's Peter saying? Lord, we have left everything. We now have been following you. Lord, what will you give us? What will we get? And Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have all that you need. And there may be persecutions with it, and there will be. Because he that liveth a godly life shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. But then notice what he says. After this life is all over, Peter, you may have sacrificed. Peter, you have really given a lot. Even in this life, you're going to get the most. But in the world to come, you're going to live forever. Eternal life. Many shall be last. The first, the last shall be first, then the first shall be last. Now, two things. Life, and we know what follows that. That's death. Physical life is limited in time. And I thought it was real interesting how that there are so many denominational preachers today that do not even have faith in God's Word. Did you know there was a survey made of 7,441 Protestant ministers concerning the faith or the lack of faith in the Bible? Look at this. The Methodists had 51% who did not have faith in the Bible. The Episcopalians, 35%. American Baptists, 33%. Presbyterians, 30%. And then the American Lutherans and even say they doubt the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet, when Peter asked that question of Jesus, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, now in this time and in the world to come, you're going to be fine here. I'm going to take care of you. And then in the world to come, you'll be able to live forever. I like two verses of Scripture, particularly in a reference to our sermon today. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, you remember Paul said that Christ was crucified unto me and I unto the world. What is he saying? He's saying that I'm living now. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know what he could say when he's about ready to die? I've lived a good life. He's going to now suffer death. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. And if I can get everybody in this building, put your focus upon the question that Peter asked. Lord, what is it in there for me? And here's your answer. I looked up and you know what? Different people have had different ages. There's Adam. He died at 930 years of age. Seth, 912. Enos died 905 years. Canaan, 910 years. Malaleel died at 895. Jared died at 962. Enoch didn't die. And yet he lived 365 years of age. Nah. And then when you look up in the Bible, there's Methuselah. And the Bible says he lived to be 969 years old, the oldest man that ever lived. There's Lamech, died at 777 years. Noah died at 950 years of age. Shem died at 600 years of age. And then Terah died at 205 years of age. Abraham died at 175 years of age. And there's Isaac, he died at 180 years of age. There's Jacob, he died at 147 years. There's Moses, and he died at 120 years of age. And then when the psalmist writes in Psalms 90 and verse 10, we find that he says the length of our days is 70 years or 80. And if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass and we fly away. Two people that I found in the Bible that did not die. Number one, there was Enoch. 365 years in Enoch, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch on this earth was 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful thing to read. He did not experience death. For the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He was a man that did what? He pleased God. Elijah, another who did not suffer death. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, and it came to pass, as they, Elijah and Elisha, still went on, they talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Two men out of all these others. But everybody else, it says, they lived 905 years. They lived 777 years. They lived 175 years. They lived 120 years, but what else does it say? This life, physical life, comes to an end. But there is eternal life after death. Jesus' audience recognized that because you remember the young man that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19? And the Bible says in verse 16, and behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus told him, but he didn't do it, so he won't have eternal life. The apostles spoke of eternal life, but now being made free from sin, Paul said in Romans 6, and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John the apostle, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Is there eternal life? No question about it. Eternal life is spoken of as a fact in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 22, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Drop down verses 42 through 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Our hope is built upon Jesus Himself. For in Hebrews chapter 6, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that which within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, and where did he go? Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what can he do? What can Jesus do for you? Peter said, Lord, we've given it all up. We're followers of you. What now will we have? Boy, he had that assurance that in this life, he'd have what he needed. But most importantly, once this limited time, he goes into unlimited time, he will have eternal living forever and ever. I love living. I love life. I know you do too. Oh, it's been such a joy. Every time I get to go with my grandson, and we do, and I tell you a lot about him. But I'll tell you one thing. It's just simply a joy. He told me the other day his birthday's going to be September the 5th, as if I didn't know that. September the 5th is going to be 11 years old. And he's into these different types of things, you know, that you build. But he found one that was $54.95. And he looked at me and he said, Peepaw, you always give me money for my birthday. He said, Peepaw, could you give me a little advance maybe? Is it okay? And he said, they have one over there just exactly like I want. And I said, son, really? Oh, yeah. His heart was set on that. Well, I have the receipt on my desk, what we did. And you can guess what I did. We love to give to our children. Our grandchildren, Buzz, you must have a lot of fun doing that. All of them. With our grandchildren, we just enjoy it, don't we? That's life. That's living. We love life. And yet we know that this life is going to come to an end sometime. But we want to be as happy as we can be here. Doing what? Doing what the Lord wants us to do. And then be assured that the Lord can do what He promised. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author, what? Of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Who's he going to give everlasting life to? Jesus, who has the ability to do it, has made that promise to them that obey him. Don't expect it. You won't get it if you don't obey him. Boy, that really points us then how important this life is. The knowledge that there is eternal life alters our view of this life. With the worldly-minded person only lives, he only lives for now. And he forgets about tomorrow. He forgets about eternity. Why? His morality reflects his belief. He thinks he can do anything he wants to and get by with it, and you can't. Not only is that true, as far as he's concerned, his personal comfort is in this life the primary goal, since this is all for which he hopes. And yet we know, friend, that there's a day that's coming. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I want you to read with me and look at what Peter says. If we realize that this world is temporary, how will it affect our lives? Peter had asked that question in Mark 10. Lord, we've given it all up for you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you're going to have what you want here and what you need, and then you're going to have everlasting life. Listen, this man learned something. He wrote these words. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of Him in peace without spot and blameless. Yeah, we live for one thing, and that is surely to show that Christ lives in us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Guess what? The child of God, what he has physically doesn't mean too much. Yes, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. No wonder Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:19-21. Now, knowing this, the answer that Jesus gave to Peter, what should be our desire? We want to be with Him. We want to live with Him so we can die with Him and then live with Him forever. In Philippians 1, Paul is stating about himself, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm here, I'm working, I'm serving, but I'm rather looking forward, Paul said, to be with the Lord. And this is what Moses learned. He altered his life because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now then, what does our hope in eternal life do for us in this life? You can be so happy if you can sit there this morning and know that your life is right with God. Know that whatever sin you may have committed, that you've made correction of it. And that you're willing, whenever you sin, to admit that you're wrong. And you'll make correction of it. And you're a child of God because you've been baptized into Jesus Christ. You know that. But if it's not that way, why? Our hope causes us to purify our lives. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You can't have a pure heart if you haven't done anything about your sins. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we should be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him does what? Purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Number two, it teaches us to live right. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2:11-15, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When? In this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who did what? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. On my way to heaven. Doing what? Serving the Lord. How? Doing everything to live right. And when I don't, correcting it and making it right with God. Now, some questions I want to ask all of us. Number one, don't love the world. This old world is going to pass away. 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember, don't love this old world. Number two, don't be conformed to it. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. And don't live like the world. Colossians 3, set your affections on things that are above. The world's not doing that. Where's your love? Where's your affection? Where is man? On things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me ask you some questions. Number one, who wants to get drunk and die in that condition? Aaron and I were driving back from Horse Mountain where we'd been preaching to Nashville, Tennessee, where I was attending college. I never will forget one night late. There was a man that had run into the embankment. And it was obvious that he was drunk. He had killed the lady that was in the car. And later on that week, he died too. Can you imagine dying being drunk? Who's drinking? Who are people that would give such a chance or take such a chance in their life? When we know what it does, it disrupts, it hurts. Hurts everybody and it hurts you. Number two, who wants to curse? And right after you said a curse word that you're issued or taken into eternity. I remember that same man. He was cursing. But he died sometime later that week. Curse. God says, hold and reverend my name. Psalms 11, verse 9. And it is. And I don't want to die that way. But you got to live right in order for you to die right. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't rob. Had two fellows come in the store. I was there. It was obvious that, boy, one of them had picked up something, put it in his pocket, and as he walked by, the other one tried to get my attention. But I mean, I took off after the other one had gotten out of the store. And I chased him down. Told the other fellow, come on, you come on too. And when I looked at that young man, just a young man, I said, son, give me what you got in your pocket. Huh? I said, give me what you got in your pocket. I said, if you give me what you got in your pocket, I won't call the police. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better never come back in this store again. And he pulled it out. And I want to tell you something. It was hardly worth anything. Why would anybody steal, rob, take that which doesn't belong to them from somebody else? You can't die right if you don't live right. And who wants to engage in immoral sexual relationships and then die in that condition? In a relationship that God condemns, oh Lord, forgive us. Help us that we may always see what the Bible says so clearly. Marriage is honorable in the sight of God and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers, God will judge. Peter, you asked the question. Yes, Peter, he hadn't done any of those things. But I'll tell you what, my friend, there are a lot of people they're not ready to die because they haven't lived right. And who wants to be lazy, not work for the Lord, not have anything to show Him? and die in that condition. Do you remember? In Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death and I'll give thee the crown of life. Hope gives us faith and love. We believe it and it shows it. No wonder Paul said, since we've heard of your faith and we see the hope that you have, our hope sustains us when we're in sorrow, when our hearts are breaking, when we're crying and we need help. And we call out to God. And we read in His Word, our assistance and help comes from the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God is helpful, and He will help those who will lean on Him and admit their faults and do something about their lives when their lives are not right with God. And then just be as happy as you can be, knowing that your life is right in God. Rejoicing in hope. That leads me. Boy, I tell you what, we want to just convert, don't we? We're living, we want people to live right here, and we're trying ourselves, and when we don't, we correct it so we can be forgiven. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yes, bring those that are lost to Christ. I have to share with you about Sebastian. I told you about him, never met him personally. Years we've talked. He's promised he's going to come, or we're going to go out there to see him, hopefully within the next year. One thing that man does is that he will study, but he wants to ask me the hardest questions in the book. Now, why is that? Boy, I mean, he'll come up with a question that I didn't even thought about hardly. And I'll say, well, I got to study a little bit more. But I mean, young man, I mean, he is very, he knows a lot already about the Bible. Why? He didn't live right before, but he's living right now. And what he wants to do is to die in the Lord. Don't ever, ever give up. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us that glorious hope of someday being with Him, knowing that He will save us. Because, you see, eternal life is the ultimate victory to all those whom, as Peter asked the question, Lord, what will we have? We have given it all up in this old life. We've given it all up for you, and now what shall we have? One of the joyous things in life is to be forgiven. I don't know how many times you've had to ask some people to forgive you. I've had to do it a number of times. If I've hurt you, I need to ask you to forgive me. Just getting forgiveness from people and then forgiveness from God. And I read across, as a matter of fact, Sebastian was one that told me about it. Tell your heart to beat again. Forgiven, if only you'd forgive yourself. You've been made new, but you're standing where you fail, because when you look in the mirror, it seems like all you ever see are the scars of every failure and the you that you used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. You'll live to love another day. And here is the point. Don't ever forget it. Yesterday's a closing door, and you don't have to live there anymore. So say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Coming to Jesus Christ means you can find that forgiveness. You can live again. Are you here today and you're not a Christian? Won't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess the sweetest name of Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived right, do right, correct it, ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. And if we can help you in any way, we're singing this beautiful song. Won't you come and be prepared to meet the Lord while together we stand and while we